Anselm with Channel 2's Newsnight Minnesota.
And I'm Martin Kosty, Capitol reporter for Minnesota Public Radio. We're going to be your host tonight for this special program.
Yes, indeed. For the rest of this hour, citizens from around the state will chat with Governor Ventura about what should be done about taxes here in Minnesota. It's the latest collaboration in the Citizens Forum Project. That's a public journalism coalition between KTCA Channel 2, the Star Tribune newspaper, and Minnesota Public Radio. For the past 2 hours, citizens randomly selected from the Star Tribune's Minnesota poll have been meeting in Minneapolis, in and in Mankato. They've been hearing from experts, and they've been talking among themselves by video telephone about what Minnesota should do with our tax surplus. So for the next hour, they will be joining us with what they have learned. The questions tonight were formulated by the Ventura administration with the hopes of finding out what Minnesotans want in terms of tax rebates. Lori Sturdivant with the Star Tribune is with a group of citizens in the paper's downtown Minneapolis newsroom. Newsnight Minnesota's Greater Minnesota reporter Jim Newman is with a group of citizens at Bemidji Middle School. And we'd like to thank the folks at KAWE-TV for their help with this. KTCA's Fred DeSam Lazaro is with a dozen or so citizens in the Mankato Public Library. All the people are gathered around the state tonight because of one person, and that is Governor Jesse Ventura, who's seated right here in the KTCA studio in St. Paul. We're also joined here by the new Speaker of the House, Steve Swigum. And we welcome Roger Moe, Senate Majority Leader. All right, let's get right to our citizens. We're going to begin with Lori Sturdivant in Minneapolis. Lori?
Well, hi, Ken. We have 15 citizens here tonight, standing next to Peggy Downs from Rosemount. And she's standing ready to answer the questions that we know will be coming to us from Governor Ventura and our legislative leaders.
Let's go right ahead.
Okay, well, is there a question the governor would like to present to us tonight?
Okay, Governor.
Well, I guess I would ask, what do they think should happen to the surplus?
I'll tell you,
I'll mention, Governor, that we did a show of hands among these 15 citizens before this program got underway, asking should there be a rebate or not. Of the 15 here, 10 said yes, 5 said no. Here's Peggy Downs to elaborate on that.
Well, the consensus of the group sort of seems to be that, yes, there should be a rebate. The concerns being, how do you spread that fairly across the taxpayers who've paid that in? And making sure that both the poor families in Minnesota as well as the wealthy families in Minnesota benefit equitably. And secondly, how is that refund or rebate going to be done as far as, is that sales or income tax rebate, sales tax rebate, and what are the federal tax implications on that rebate as well?
Peggy, could I ask you a question? Was there a preference as to whether it should be the income or sales tax or property tax?
Well, our understanding here at the group is that the sales tax rebate would not be taxed under federal tax law, and that if it's an income tax rebate, it would be. So we definitely have the preference for the first one.
I'll mention that we did a little show of hands on that point as well. Two people were interested in an income tax rebate, just an income tax rebate. 5 wanted a sales tax rebate, and 6 wanted some combination. Now, I notice that doesn't add up to 15, so I think we have some people who are still on the fence on that.
Okay.
Well, Governor, we've heard a lot of talk around the Capitol indirectly, a little bit from your new staff, that that you do like the sales tax rebate approach. How much can you tell us? How much do you like that?
Well, I like it in the fact that, you know, certainly it'll be based on, and they have the ways of doing that based on your income, where they can more or less certify, or not certify, but they can find out if you make so much money, the chances are you participate in so much sales tax as you live your life. And what I like about it is the fact that it will, for one thing, in that mechanism, it will hit only Minnesota citizens. If you go to a straight income tax rebate, you've got a lot of people making income here in the state of Minnesota that don't live here. You know, they come here, they make their money, and they're gone. And I just like the idea for that particular thing that we, you know, any rebate would go to the actual people of Minnesota. And then, of course, you've got the federal laws on income tax. If it's an income tax rebate, it's subjected to federal income tax laws. If it's a sales tax rebate, it's not.
There's some question about whether or not you know that money would be tax exempt, whether or not a sales tax rebate would be safe from Uncle Sam. What's the latest you've...
Well, the word that I have is that it's a sales tax and that you don't have to declare sales tax on your income.
We're going to go to Bemidji in a moment, but very first, Mr. Speaker, sales tax rebate?
Well, we're certainly interested and very, very open to Governor Ventura's option of the sales tax rebate. Jesse and I have spoken to that. I would just like to, you know, the question gets to be the fairness of giving the money back, and then the second question about not giving it any to the feds in the form of the federal tax, if that's at all possible. My guess is, now I don't know this for sure, but my guess is that while this has been done in one other state, I believe, in the form of the sales tax rebate, it was Colorado, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was a smaller amount of money, maybe $70 million, if my research was correct. My guess is that the feds, when they start seeing substantial amount of money is being rebated in this way, that they might open their eyes a little bit wider and with a little more scrutiny. But if we can do it that way, Jesse, you'd have our support in the House.
Well, maybe it's a fact. To me, it's the policy, not how much. I mean, if the federal government is going to change their scrutiny or their position, why would how much have anything to do with it? I mean, if their policy is they don't tax sales tax, then to me, I don't see whether it could be challenged from them. But I'm not an attorney. You know, I'm very open to that.
Nor are any of the rest of us.
Very quickly, Senator Moe, before we go to Bemidji.
No, we're open to any one of the taxes and want to meet exactly the same kind of thresholds that have been mentioned. We want, obviously, to, since everybody's participated in this economic growth, everybody ought to participate in some kind of a rebate. And then if any kind of strategy that we can devise that can keep it here for Minnesotans, we're very much open to that. So we look forward to that discussion and debate, and hopefully we can get this resolved.
Let's go to Jim Newman in Bemidji. Jim, you have a citizen for us?
Hi, I'm Nancy Mastrian. I'm from Nevis, Minnesota, and it's an honor to get to talk to you, Governor Ventura. I would like to see the surplus go back to the communities somehow. I'd also like to see the state or the sales tax lowered. But the communities definitely need to have some say in the surplus, especially northern Minnesota. There is life north of Brainerd. We do need to have some monies come here, and for our children, for our senior citizens, for anything that you can see possible. I don't know what else to say, but it's,
well, that's fine.
Important for our communities to have some of this money come back. I don't know how it could be done, if there could be a community center for northern Minnesota, certain areas in northern Minnesota, things for our children, that kind of thing. But it's just been an honor to get to talk to you.
Well, thank you. And actually, northern Minnesota will get the same amount as central Minnesota, southern Minnesota, urban Minnesota. All Minnesotans will you know, get the equivalent amount of money, however it's divided up. And then, you know, we'll leave that choice up to you. When you get the, you know, I'm hoping we give it back in the form of a check, and you know, the family can take that check and spend it on their children, whatever they deem necessary, rather than having us decide what they're going to spend the rebate money on. It's their money, it's the citizens' money, and as far as I'm concerned, they can spend it on what they want to spend it on.
Okay, let's go to Mankato. We have a citizen there.
Again, we do. It is Joyce Wilcox of North Mankato. Go ahead, Joyce.
Thank you. Governor Ventura, what we were looking at here, it's consensus of the group, I think, that we feel the money should come back. But we're very much in favor of it coming back in some sort of formula that involves the sales tax, because it seems to be the most equitable form, because it affects everyone. Some of the farmers in our group have clearly pointed out that they don't make enough money to pay income tax. So we feel that that would be unfair because they wouldn't be in on the pot, so to speak. Giving a tax credit to people that don't pay tax, like senior citizens, doesn't appear to work either. We're very much in favor of the sales tax option. We're hopeful. We feel that there probably are formulas out there right now. In fact, some of the earlier speakers alluded to that. That would indicate what would be an equitable way of doing that. The other portion that we feel very strongly about from the Mankato group is about the tobacco rebate. We would like to see a large portion of that money come back to the people of the state. After all, that suit was filed in the name of the citizens, and as someone aptly pointed out here, if the citizens don't get that money back, it's like a lawyer filing suit for you and then saying, oh, but I think I'll keep the money. So that's the consensus from the Mankato group about that particular issue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I would, you know, it's you know, the first lump sum of the, if I can address the tobacco money, and I'm fine, I won't even address the sales tax money because I agree wholeheartedly with her on that. So, but as far as, you know, the tobacco lawsuit money, yeah, we can give it all back to the citizens, and the big lump sum will come out. I think, you know, a ballpark figure would be about $140, you know, a family or a person or whatever it would come out to doing that, and then it's gone. I mean, that lump sum is gone then, and they could spend it on that. But I, you know, on a personal viewpoint of that, it's not tax money and it's not surplus money, you know, surplus over taxation. It's the result of a lawsuit. And the lawsuit goes to the state of Minnesota, and I, as the head executive officer of the state of Minnesota, will play a part in determining philosophically what should be done with it. And I personally would like to see more done than just giving everyone $140 or whatever back in their pockets that they could spend. I believe that, you know, that money was won over the fraudulent policies of tobacco, and I would personally rather see, you know, the money go towards research of the health industry. I mean, like we have the University of Minnesota and the Mayo Clinic that does tremendous amount of research. I had the chance to go to both. And that research has to be paid for. And I think in the long run, you know, all of us will benefit a lot more than $140. I mean, let's say hypothetically we use the tobacco money for research and a cure came for, say, diabetes or something like that. And, you know, or a cure came for something that touches all families in Minnesota health-wise. I think that in the long run, you know, philosophically from where I come from, I'd feel real good about that. You know, that this money that came from tobacco, which has had such ill effects on people's health throughout the world in all these years that people have been using cigarettes, to take that money and to use it in a positive manner to help everyone's health. I personally could support that as much or more than, you know, $140 in your pocket's nice, but, you know, I know, you know, it doesn't go an awful long way. You know, and I just think it would be, I personally would think it'd be better used for health research to where you could, you create an endowment with the money. It's sitting there, so at any time, if you wanted to stop the endowment, you can go get it and give it back. But the money raised from this endowment could then be used years and years and years, you know, to help research down the line. And then if ever you decided, well, it's not working, the research has been terrible, you can give the money back at any time.
So couldn't what you're saying about the tobacco money apply to the surplus as a whole?
No, because to me the surplus is over taxation. That's where we set a budget. And then because of economic times, more money has come in than what we budgeted to run the government.
You're talking about checks of the same size or roughly same magnitude?
Oh, no,
the one-time
payment. The surplus money checks will be larger than the tobacco money. The surplus money checks will be much larger than the initial one-time payment of tobacco money. You know, and to me, it's a difference. One is a lawsuit. That's not budgeted, you know, Roger takes no part in that, Steve takes no part in that. That's a lawsuit that the state of Minnesota was the plaintiff and won. And it's simply our job now, more or less, to determine what we do with the windfall of that lawsuit. And you know, it's a philosophical decision.
I think Speaker Swigum does not agree with your position.
Well, sir,
he's been making sort of a face of that. Maybe not the Speaker.
A cooperative face. I get a long face.
Sure,
but
no,
the fact
sure.
of the matter is that it is overtaxation. You can say it is overtaxation because the premise, if you read the lawsuit, it says the premise of the lawsuit is Minnesotans had overpaid. Now, these are my words, they'd overpaid, either in the form of paying more in their health care premium or more in their taxes due to the negative effects of tobacco. And it specifically in the lawsuit states GAMC, general assistance, medical assistance. They're specifically stated as how Minnesotans had overpaid their taxes. That's in the lawsuit. So it just seems to me to be really reasonable and common sense that if we win the lawsuit, the money comes to the state, that it ought to go back to the premise. It ought to go back to the citizens, to the taxpayers, and maybe not used on new programs.
I would just say that how much, Steve, do we collect in taxes from tobacco right now?
From tobacco right now?
Yeah.
We highly tax
tobacco right now. Well, maybe we should just give that tax and not tax for tobacco.
Well, I'm interested in reducing any taxes.
Well, my point is, you know, tobacco taxes, we've gained huge amounts of money in this state via taxing tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have huge taxes on tobacco. You're asking for simply a rebate on tobacco taxes. Well, then why have them in the first place? Are you going to let tobacco go tax-free?
I'm not sure I totally follow your
we have taxes on tobacco.
Yes, we do.
And you're saying that the premise of this lawsuit is
that we had overpaid as Minnesotans.
Yeah, taxes.
Overpaid.
So you're saying that the taxes on tobacco are too much?
No, that's not true. What we're saying is Minnesotans, the premise of the lawsuit is Minnesotans had overpaid. Now, not necessarily tobacco taxes that they overpaid, but they'd overpaid all their other taxes, either income, sales, or what other taxes may be collected by the state, because we've had to pay for the health care programs that we have the negative consequence of tobacco use.
Clearly, that's the big disagreement of the session here.
I don't think we ought to reduce the tobacco tax. I'll start with that. Secondly, the tobacco industry wants exactly to have Steve get his way. Because if that money goes back in a one-time check to people, then there's no money for ongoing education and efforts to keep children from starting smoking. And I don't think that just because we happen to be here and now, that we should think we should be the beneficiaries of that legal settlement. I would guess that if you take the generations before us who paid that tax and you ask them, my guess is that they would say, do something about keeping my grandchildren and great-grandchildren from smoking, do something about addressing health care issues across this state. And so, Governor, I just want you to know our caucus is wholeheartedly in support of taking the one-time tobacco money, setting it aside, not spending it, putting it in endowments to address broader public health issues.
No.
Okay, we're going to go to hear from some citizens first, and then we'll get back to the politicians. Hold on. Now, let's go to Minneapolis.
Okay, hi. The group in Minneapolis does see this issue about tobacco a little differently than the group in Mankato did. Of our 15 citizens here, a dozen of them said that tobacco money should be treated differently from other state revenues and should not be part of the rebate. I have here with me one of Governor Ventura's former constituents when he was mayor of Brooklyn Park, Grant Curtis.
Well, I think I disagree with the group here a little bit, but I think if you make the choice to put our tobacco money in an endowment, is what you're doing is you're making a charitable contribution on my behalf. I think when you ran for governor, you're taking government out of having government reduce the number of personal decisions they're making for people. If you refund that money to me, I can make the choice of sending that to a medical charity, but I think you need to put that choice back in the people's hands.
Well, that's certainly interesting, and I respect your opinion. But let's remember something. In putting it into endowment, you're not losing the money. You're not losing the principal. The only thing that would be spent, like for research for health, is the profits made from that. If 2 to 3 years from now we decide this isn't working, it was terrible, the money will still be there to give back to you. It's not like we're taking that money and we're spending it for you. The principal money, the one-time money that we receive, will always be there. It's not going anywhere. It's no, you know, it's like it being put into a savings account for the public, and we're only going to use the profits from that are made and generated in the free marketplace to use that profit money. Like I said, in 3 years, if it's not working, you can get the money back if you don't like it.
Okay, let's go to Bemidji, hear from a citizen there.
Hi, I'm Jim Newman in Bemidji, and with me is Jim Millis of Grand Rapids, who represents a substantial majority of the people here. Basically want to keep it simple, think we're getting off the track a little bit. They want the money back, but I'm going to put it in his own words.
Hi, Governor Ventura.
Hi.
Yes, we would like to see all the tax surplus money refunded.
I agree with you. Tax surplus money will come back.
I like the sales tax base formula, but I also think you have to incorporate the income tax, the filing of a tax return into the system somehow. Mainly, I want a very simple system, something that is simple for everyone to understand. Last year's rebate, part of it was in the form of a property tax refund. Earlier we heard that that's one of the reasons we have such a surplus now is because a lot of people didn't file that. They didn't understand whatever was necessary to do that. The simpler we can get it, the better we're going to like it. And I hope that Mr. Svegan and Mr. Moe understand this also, that we want a simple refund system.
Yeah, but let me say, though, first that this current surplus we have has nothing to do whatsoever with people not filing for the property tax rebate. This is a new surplus unto itself. It doesn't have any bearing on the past rebates and the past surpluses. And I'm glad you like it simple, because that leads me to my next point of the policy that I want to create, and that is biannually. Now, do you see when I hold up two fingers here? Biannually means every 2 years, so I want to be real clear on that. We do a biannual budget of every 2 years, and I want to create a policy that when June 30th, that's when the fiscal year ends, every 2 years biannually, which will be this June 30th, that's the time we clear the books. That's the time we balance our checkbook as government, and as we go down the line, and if there's surplus money, it's at that time you, the public, will know, just like you know when the 4th of July is, just like you know that Christmas comes on December 25th, New Year's is on January 1st, and that way you're not getting a surplus return sometimes in February, sometimes in October, and all of that. That biannually, every 2 years, we balance the books. If there's a surplus, it comes back to you, the public.
Governor, people are looking for simplicity. Why not do something akin to what your ad suggested during the campaign? Take the money when you're done, whatever's left over, and divvy it up evenly among all the residents of the state.
We will be.
No, I mean, without bothering with filing a percentage of whatever sales tax you spent or anything, just simply say, if you're a resident of the state, divide it by, you know, $3 million.
Because some, you know, this is budget surplus based upon certain people. I mean, people have to be, you know, people work and pay into that. And to simply, you know, divide it up equally to every person in the state, it may not be fair either. Because, you know, some people pay more of their money was used, less of other people's money. I think you have to find a happy medium there dividing it up as fairly as you can. And I agree there should be a cap on it, you know, that, you know, naturally people that make over $500,000 a year don't need the rebate as much as and the way I'm going to set it up to be, it's going to be very much focused on the middle class. Those people that always seem to get the raw end of the deal. You know, the wealthy people tend to do well on some things, the very poor tend to do well on some things, but the forgotten people are those blue-collar middle class, you know, with the incomes from 30 to maybe 90,000, right in that area right there. And that's what I'd like to see it go to.
I like what I'm hearing. believe me, Governor, we're tracking. This shouldn't take long at all. I can tell
everybody
that.
Told us, Roger, how hard this was going to be this
That's
year.
Right. No, this
and I've got Steve
out.
On one side barely disagreeing me occasionally a little philosophically. I got Roger on the other side. Look at this.
Okay.
This tripartisanship works pretty good, doesn't it? Just like I said it would.
There were two issues there. One, which was the regular rebate dates. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of closing up the books. I'd like both of you to talk quickly about that and then also talk about the cap.
Well, we believe that, yes, I think there ought to be some kind of a cap. We're going to argue over the details on that, but I think that there should be a limit. And yes, we agree that we ought to target towards middle-income families in the state. The issue of the governor wants to wait until we take a look at the books at the end of June, making sure that it's there. That's something we can work with as well. Don't disagree with him at all.
Now, when you say targeting middle class, does that mean that
people who, say, make $100,000 aren't going to get as much percentage-wise back as, say, somebody who's making $60,000 or $40,000. Those numbers, you can move them around.
Middle class, there's a fairly broad definition of middle class, but I think what we're saying is that once you get really at the top limits, certainly there will be rebates, but I think there ought to be a cap on the overall amount.
Well, fairness, Ken, is always in the eyes of the beholder. Whoever, wherever you happen to be standing now happens to be the fair position.
Well, some people say those who pay more ought to get more back.
Yeah, and that's what I guess I'm trying to say is there'll be different people defining fair in different ways, but it seems to me that it ought to be simple. It ought to be back to the people who paid it. We do have a cap in the House bill, as you know. We also have a minimum in the House bill. The bill that was introduced last week, both a cap and a minimum, but our plan is very simple. 1997, the taxes that you paid in 1997, you're going to get 20% basically of those dollars back, given that there's a minimum, given that there's a cap. The 95% of the taxpayers in the state would get that money back. Now, we also in the House would like to hit it out the door, so to speak, passed early in the legislative session, out the door, so the temptation is not there for politicians to spend the money. You know, by its very design, the legislature is set up, the process is set up, you know, Jesse, to spend the people's money.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that doesn't happen. We want to, you know, if we can set up an endowment so it's untouchable, you know, that we can have some cooperation.
You know, Steve and I had a discussion on this, and I laughingly told him, Steve, if that's what it'll take, I'll support that. I myself can put two quarters in my pocket and leave it there. You know, but Steve's made it clear to me that that won't always happen over on the House side.
Right.
That when they get those two quarters,
and
I don't have a problem with that. When they do it is irrelevant to me. I mean, if they feel the need to do it immediately so that they won't put it in to the formula of spending, you know, in the legislative process, I'll live with that. I just want to create a policy so that all citizens out there know that June 30th is the end of the fiscal year. Biannually now, that's every 2 years. They have to understand that. You know, it's not every June 30th. We do biannual budgets, which are every, you know, 2 years. And that they'll then know that at that point in time, that's when money will always be returned to them from our budgets. That way we're not going on projections, because you all know, if we went on projections, I wouldn't be sitting here as governor right now, because nobody projected me to be here. So now you know where I stand on projections.
Let's hear where some of the citizens stand. Let's go to Mankato.
Thanks, Ken. The next comment comes from Bill Anderson of Mankato. Bill.
We had a pretty strong consensus that there's a surplus and we should give quite a bit of that money back. But one of the issues that we didn't really get to discuss enough, I think, is the question of whether some of that surplus is due to a long history of not responsibly spending on things like our infrastructure, K-12, deferred maintenance. We've got kids still on waiting lists for daycare and families that we're trying to put back to work. We've got kids uncovered by our Minnesota health care. To what extent do we have to look back on a past when times were tighter of saying we can't afford that, and now when times are flush, saying, oh, let's give all the money back?
Well, it's like this. That's our jobs, to create a budget. But we have to live within the means of that budget. If we're going to spend money on child care, if we're going to spend money on all these other things, then it's up to us as the House, the Senate, and the governor to do that in the budget. This money here is based upon too much money coming in, because we've got low unemployment, so people are working more. We've got people buying and spending money, so the sales tax has brought in far more than what anyone anticipated. And that's the fine line difference between giving the surplus back rather than taking the surplus and then spending it on more programs. We have to stand on our records on programs, and that's done in the legislative process, like Steve just talked about, where when they're going to get in there and they're going to budget and decide how to spend the money, that's the place to do it. Not when a budget surplus comes in. I put it into simple terms, it's like your electric bill. Many times the electric company will send you an estimated bill, don't they? They don't get the chance to get out to your house, so they send you an estimated bill. It might be $100. Well, when the real bill comes, it might be only $60. Well, what would you prefer, to have the electric company then take that money and spend it on alternative energy resources or something? You have no, absolutely not. They'd give you that money back. That $40 would either be credited to your next bill, you know, directly in line to where your next bill might only be $10. But that's what it's about right there. It's about not anticipating the revenues of the economy and the economy actually being far better than what anyone anticipated. But as far as the budget goes, that's up to us to create a budget for those programs he talked about.
We're going to go to Minneapolis, but I understand the citizens there want Governor Ventura to ask them a question. So, Governor?
They want to ask him a question. A budget question?
Right, and I understand that you haven't put together...
I'm here more to listen.
Right, but I understand you haven't put your budget together at this point because you wanted to wait until tonight to hear what you heard from some of the citizens.
Well, we've been in the budget process. No, you've heard wrong. If you think that we're just creating a budget right now, we haven't finalized anything. I'm just here to listen to the citizens to see if their concerns in a direction that maybe they want to go, and to let them know that certainly I could possibly be swayed if they strongly come out some way, if they want Steve Swigum's method of totally taking that tobacco money and giving it back one time only. But then I wanted the opportunity to try to convince them of what I want to do with it too, that still leaves it there. I really don't have a question. I don't know. Let me look and see if I... my glasses on.
While the governor is looking for the next question, sure. If anybody in Minneapolis...
Right. You don't have to take station breaks.
No, we don't have station breaks here, unfortunately.
Forget that all the time.
Yeah, Laurie, somebody, this is their shot to tell the governor what
they
like.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go to you.
Ken, let us jump in if you can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Sure.
We have, as I said earlier, not everyone here thinks there should be a tax rebate. Fred Beamer of Minneapolis is one who has a different idea. I'll let Fred explain it.
Go ahead, Fred.
Governor Ventura, it's good to be able to have to ask you or make a comment on what's happening as far as the budget surplus is concerned. But when you're talking about the electric bill and the budget of Minnesota, that's not apples to apples. The budget was initially begun to better the life of the citizens of the state. If people have if the government developed a surplus because of the actions of people, and it's very difficult to know exactly how this all comes about and how to keep track of it, I think the surplus should be kept in our possession so that when we have someplace money, extra money, is used for the betterment of the citizens, rather than listening to a lot of politicians say, no, we can't afford this and we can't afford that, or it isn't in the budget, I think what we should do is look at that extra, and by looking at that extra, we can use it where it's necessary. And I'm sure that in your background and what you've seen a lot of places where you'd wish that the state would provide funds in order to take care of a number of things. One of the things that I look at more than anything else is that if there is a deficiency in the funds, the legislators say, let's raise the taxes. Well, I can see that we're getting license fees, we're getting penalty fees, we're getting all kinds of fees that the senior citizens, the poor, we still have a lot of poor, they don't have the ability to pay that, and if they don't pay it, they're 10 times worse off. So let's reduce a lot of the fees, let's reduce a lot of the penalties, let's reduce a lot of the, let's have a preventative condition whereby we don't have to spend the money, we don't have to waste it.
Well, he's kind of talked on both sides of the issue right there. On one side, he said to take money and spend it on programs and spend it where government deems it should be used. And on the other side, he's saying that we should be reducing the fee structure, reducing taxes and all that. I'm hard to follow how you can have it kind of both ways on that end of it.
Let's talk about those tag fees. You've talked about that, tag fees.
Yeah, on license tabs. I think that it's a terrific, you know, when I was out on the campaign trail this fall, that was a thing that very much irritated citizens. very strongly. They said, you know, why do we have to pay these huge amount of fees on license tabs every year? And then they look at the state of Wisconsin and see a flat rate of $45 per car. And philosophically, my view is this way on license tabs. Hunting license is a flat fee. Your driver's license is a flat fee. You don't have to bring in your W-2, you know, to prove how much money you make in your job to determine how much you pay to get a driver's license. And philosophically, you're paying a license or a fee for the use and the privilege to drive on highways. I don't understand why it's based upon the value of your automobile. You've already paid tax on that automobile when you've bought it.
Governor, do you believe in general in taxation based on ability to pay? I mean, we have that, obviously.
I do in certain instances, but in certain fees to go out and get public use of public things, I think it has to be a flat rate. Are you going to have an ability to pay on the fishing license? Do we, you know, do you go there then and say, look, my income's low, so I can fish for free? And then the person that makes money, they have to go there and pay money to get that fishing license? I mean, you have to... To me, it's a privilege. Driving the highways is a privilege. It's not a right. Fishing is a privilege. It's not, you know, you have to pay a fee to do it. In my opinion, it should be a flat fee.
Mr. Speaker, that wasn't part of the House proposal.
No, it was not. But just, we're certainly open to discussion on it. To Fred in Minneapolis and to Bill in Mankato, who probably came upon the surplus in different angles, I'd like to tell both of them, just leave them one number. And that's 17.8%. The biennium that we sit in right now, that Jesse is talking about settling up at the end of the biennium, we have already increased spending by 17.8%. Now, that ought to be enough. And that surplus money ought to be sent back to the taxpayers of the state. If we can't, I don't know of how many, not many, families in my area, nor would I guess in Minneapolis or in Mankato, saw increases in their resources of 17.8%. Government should be able to live within that.
And government is there to provide the operation of government, too. It's not to go out and solve everybody's problems. That, you know, that isn't government's role either.
It seems everyone agrees, sitting here and in the legislature, that people should be getting 17.8 or something approaching that back. But the fight or the struggle or the debate here is what's the fair way to do that? We've been talking about that all night. And I think it doesn't sound as though you're necessarily all on the same page. And one thing I wonder about, Governor Ventura, in your case, is do you also believe that money should be returned? This is the flip side of my other question. Should money be returned according to need?
Should it be returned according to need on what, the surplus?
Yes.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. This is surplus money, and it is not an endowment. It is not a government program. It is not welfare, if you want to put it in that aspect. I think it needs to be returned equitably and fairly to all citizens that qualify, and that it shouldn't, just because you're successful doesn't mean government should penalize you. We've got to get away from that aspect of thinking. You know, government too many times penalizes you for being successful, and that's not right either. You know, you're going to get people who will probably get this surplus back who do make a lot of money, and they'll probably take it and give it to a charity. That'll happen too. But still, they're entitled to a fairness. Government needs to be fair.
I'd like to go to Bemidji in a moment, but first, Senator, would you like to add anything before we go to the citizen?
No, just I think, again, that we're talking about minimums and maximums, and I think we'll work within that range. We'll certainly have some good discussions and debates about that. But, I think we're going to try to get it. Everybody has participated in this, and if you base it solely on the income taxes, then you're going to leave out hundreds of thousands of households. Farmers who didn't make an income, elderly who don't file a tax form. And so as we're struggling with this, we're trying to figure out some mechanism whereby we get it to as broad a group of Minnesotans as possible, as fairly as possible, as quickly as possible, and try to keep it from being federally taxed. I think that's our goal.
All right, let's go to Bemidji now. Bemidji?
I'm with Mike Fall, who has some ideas about how the budget surplus can be used to do working families some long-term good. Mike?
A number of us have a kind of simple, fair solution to this whole thing, and that's that we invest this budget surplus in permanent long-term tax reductions. A number of us that are a little older remember before we had the extra half percent sales tax. We remember when we didn't have to pay sales tax each time we bought a car, and that once you bought a car, you paid the sales tax on it, and the successive times it was sold, you didn't pay taxes on it again. We remember when we had lower taxes on license plates. We remember when we didn't have taxes on services. We remember we didn't have taxes on restaurant food. All those little things, the taxes on our energy bills. We didn't have those. Those were added sales taxes as the years have gone on. And our proposal is that a simple way to return this money to the taxpayers is to create some long-term tax reduction, maybe reducing it from 6.5% to 6%, eliminating these god-awful taxes on automobiles. The license plates for somebody in northern Minnesota who needs to have a pickup truck. It's a three-year-old pickup truck, and they're paying $250 a year for license plates on it. It's excessive.
Yep. Well, I would agree, but, you know, I'll disagree on this, though. To me, sales taxes are to me, more fair than income tax, because a sales tax is a user fee that you choose to buy something, and then you pay the tax on it. Income tax, I'd rather see a permanent reduction in the income tax rate in a lot of ways, because I'm a firm believer in the national sales tax, of going to that mechanism if it can ever be achieved at the national level.
Instead of the income tax.
Yeah, because to me, sales taxes are user fees in the fact that you choose then what you're going to be taxed on by what you buy. Where an income tax, you're simply working and the government is taking the fruits of your labor and taking it from you, and you have no choice in the matter at all. And so, you know, and I'm talking about in my upcoming budget, there's going to be permanent tax relief, rest assured of it, in the permanent level.
Senator Moe, are you worried about permanent tax cuts because the economy is really cooking now and 2 years from now we could be in a recession?
No, we're certainly going to be looking at permanent rate reductions in the second bill, assuming there's a rebate bill and then there's the omnibus tax bill that will come in May. No, we'll be looking at permanent rate reductions because, as you know, then we're looking out into the next biennium. There's a projected surplus. Again, it is projected. And so we have to be cautious and prudent, and we have to balance, obviously, the needs of education. There's going to be requests for a number of different things on education and in the environment and a whole host of other areas, but I think we'll try to balance it off. But no, we believe that we can also have a permanent tax cut as well. But again, there the debate is going to focus on which tax again.
Yeah, sure.
Let's go to Mankato and hear from another citizen. Mankato?
Ken, one of the sectors of our economy that has not participated in boom times is agriculture, and farmers specifically. How they fit into the picture is an issue that Gary Letcher of Garden City, Minnesota, would like to comment on. Gary?
Okay, thank you. One of the questions I have, of course, is that agriculture of today plays a large portion of the money locally goes to support the schools and stuff in the area. And a lot of them are farmers today, pay interest, they pay towards local taxes and that, and they don't really fall into the area of income tax, although they do on a certain amount of sales tax. My question is what, how will the money be spent equally, fairly out to help agriculture as well in this surplus of money?
Well, on my end of it, it would be, you know, regardless of it'll be based loosely on your income, but there'll be a minimum too for people like the farmers who aren't going to show an awful lot of profit this year. You will get a tax rebate on a sales tax rebate. On an income tax rebate, you're probably not going to get that. You're going to get nothing, pretty much, or far less. So that would be my answer to that specifically right now. And plus, I think we're all going to agree up here. First of all, the federal government is talking very strongly about some farm relief. And I think both men up here with me are going to agree that all the bills that will be submitted forward on a budget right now are going to have some agriculture relief immediately for the farmer that truly needs it out there. I think we're all looking at that.
Mr. Speaker, your caucus just introduced something.
Just today, Gary, $80 million. $80 million to help with the property tax payment, the first half property tax payment in May. And that's what the House Republicans are going to be moving, a substantial amount of money in that out-the-door tax bill to help farmers because of the low commodity prices. In addition, we're going to be looking at the rate reductions, the permanent tax cut. I think we should put in the mix the marriage penalty that exists in the state of Minnesota and the sick tax, the provider tax, which I think is a terrible, terrible tax.
Well, I would like to add, though, that the House has got to be careful, though, too, in how they structure this $80 million they're talking about to the farmers, because I think we've got to focus it on the farmers who truly are in need here. Not just an across-the-board sales tax reduction. It's going to be based on whether you're a farm homestead, Steve?
Actually, not Governor Ventura. Not as of the amendment that came today.
Okay, well,
and what we're trying to do is universal and fair to all, and not pick winners and losers, because we don't want government sitting here and picking winners and losers. You know, the market should pick winners and losers, not government.
Okay, but I just ask you to be fair on this, because, you know, while you have farmers that are in dire straits right now, you likewise have farmers that are making a lot of money. You know, both ends of the spectrum, but they're there. And I just think we have to be careful in targeting, that we target the farmer who truly, truly is in dire straits and needs it, more so than, you know, a farmer who's enjoying a lot of profits right now, which there's a few of them out there that are.
We're running out of time, but I would like to go to a citizen one more time in Minneapolis.
Yes, one of our citizens happens to be a former city council member in Savage, Minnesota, Marilyn Reamer. Marilyn, we'd like your comments on this.
Okay. Governor Ventura, I'm very happy to meet you and to talk with you and have a similar background. City of Savage, we had very similar concerns. We were constantly trying to balance budgets. We wanted to collect enough taxes but not over-collect that you have people angry with you. The one thing that we've heard here today is that the state of Minnesota has spent less and taken in more money. Is there any talk to project getting rid of the 0.5% sales tax that was implemented a number of years ago as a temporary measure, but seems to be a permanent measure at this point in time? And I don't know if we have time tonight to go, but nothing's been discussed about the bond issue either, as far as whether we should be paying that off as a cash or continue the low interest bond issue.
That's a very good question, and thank you for asking it. On the bond end of it, I'm in support of keeping it as a bond right now. I mean, we paid off $500 million of that bonding bill last year, and I think that, you know, many people down the line are going to profit from what happens for the capital bond, and that we need to spread that payment out a little bit more to down the road. And we're in great shape right now, bond wise. We're in no jeopardy of losing anything close to our bond rating. We've got plenty of room in there to move this over and allow it to continue as a bond rather than paying it off. And that's what I support. And not only that, but if we pay it off now, rest assured, when another bonding bill comes up, Steve Swigum talked about it, if they get over there and see a big space of bonding to do in there, they're going to fill that baby up again, and then where do we go?
I'm not sure if I fully understand, but if you're suggesting that we change the law that passed last year, whereby we paid cash for $400 million of the public works or capital budget bill, if you want to change that, which means to borrow money, it seems to me to be kind of penny wise and pound foolish, because that costs $53 million. If you take and borrow now $400 million to give for a tax rebate, what you're doing is you're borrowing money for a tax rebate. I think that's bad fiscal policy. Secondly, if you take the $400 million in cash and now say, well, we're going to bond for that instead, you're now going to pay, instead of $400 million over the lifetime of the bond, you're going to pay $600 million to pay off those bonds. So I don't think that's very good financial management. I don't think you're going to find a lot of support in the Senate to change that bill, not to mention the fact that it takes a 60% vote to get it done.
We got about a minute to go. Final thoughts?
Immediate tax rebate to the citizens of the state. It's going to happen. All
Tell
we need to
the
do.
Bonding, Steve. Where you at on that? Give me the bonding
Jesse,
shot. That's what
Steve,
I want to hear
okay,
right now.
Okay. Well, as you well know, when you can bond and you can get bonds for 3.5, 3.6%, as we can right now, that's a pretty prudent time to bond.
I think so too.
I would also say just very quickly and in a cooperative spirit, if Roger and the Senate caucus isn't going to use the bond money, and isn't going to use the tobacco money, all of a sudden that immediate rebate is down to about $600 million rather than 1.1.
That's not true.
It certainly is.
That's not true.
But you're going on projections, Roger.
Yeah. No, that's not true.
It's Senator, how much is available without that money?
If you take out the $400 and you take out all the tobacco money, tell me what's available right now.
30 seconds.
Somewhere between $900 million and $1.1 billion.
Well, then yes. You're seeing different numbers than I am.
And then I.
All right, well, gentlemen, after a remarkable hour of cooperation, we end on a slightly discordant note, but that's okay. That's
part of the legislative process. I'm very enthusiastic right now and ready to go forward and do the state's work as my two colleagues are.
All right, Governor, gentlemen, hope to see you back real soon. We would like to thank you for watching and listening to tonight's special program. People who would like to give their feedback to the governor can do so on the Star Tribune website. You can give your answers to the questions that the citizens answered tonight, and that's at www.startribune.com. And we also invite each of you to continue to watch your local public TV station, listen to your local public radio station, and read the Star Tribune. Each of us will provide extensive coverage of this week's remaining inaugural activities. And speaking of which, Twin Cities TV viewers in particular might want to tune in this Saturday night, 8:30, to catch Channel 2's live coverage of the Ventura inaugural party from the Target Center. There'll be music, pageantry, fun, and we're not quite sure what else. But it will be interesting. So for Martin Costi and all the partners of the Citizens Forum Project, thanks for watching. Good night.